Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Nida Daf Ayin Aleph. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins 8 lines from the top of Daf Ayin Aleph. Beis Shammai Omrim, Kol Hanoshim Mesois Nidois. We saw in the Mishnah Beis Shammai holding that all women die as Nidos. Now, if we just translate that, it would mean that at the point that a woman dies, she has already become a Nida. That in itself needs quite a bit of explanation. So before we go on in the Gemara, we glance at the outside margin under our Nosei, our topic heading, where we've written this very point. Beis Shammai is of the opinion that Kol Hanoshim Mesos Nidos. We will see under our Mivneh heading the double underline feature, one of our series markings, and we've explained under the Mivneh, these are Nisyonos, attempts, Lovin Taimoshel Beis Shammai. You can see we're going to go through a couple of stages in trying to understand what Beis Shammai said. So now we read the Gemara. Mai Tamayu de Beis Shammai. What is the reasoning behind Beis Shammai? And we see a long question marking, the shin that is encircled, with a descending vertical dashed line showing you the length of this inquiry. So what is the reason for Beis Shammai? Nemo mishum dechtiv vatischalchal hamalko, a posuk from Megillas Esther. It says, vatischalchal hamalko v'yomar rav melamed shiporsu nida. From this posuk, we learn that she became a nida. She had been in a state of fright, and it says that she, the Queen Esther, became a nida. So, Hochanami, along the same lines, Agav Biatusa de Malacha de Moisa, Biatusa is the fear of the Malachamov, it's the fear of the impending death brought on by the angel of death. Chasya, that's why the woman saw. We're speaking, of course, about women that died, so that just before they died, because of the fear that overcame them through the Malachamovis, they became Nidos, just like we saw Esther out of fear becoming a Nida. Well, if that's the case, we have a brackets here. We'll skip them momentarily. Ela Hodisnan, or there's a Girsa that reads Hodisanya, that which it says in the following Tanaic source. In our Mishnah, Beis Shammai Omrim Kol. This is a Tanaic source, that is, and Beis Shammai Omrim Kol Hoanoshim Mesim Zovim. All men die as Zovim. Ubeis Hillel Omrim Ein Zav Elo Mi Shemes Zav. Beis Hillel doesn't say all men, but rather only those that die as actual Zavim. Now, if the explanation of Beis Shammai is a result of fear of Malach HaMoves, then in the case of a man, he would not become a Zav. Ikri Khan, we would refer to such a case, Mi Besoro. The Pasuk says that Ziva has to come on its own, Velo Machmas also, not because of some type of outside influence, in this case, fear. So that if fear were the analysis of Beis Shammai, it would be rejected based on what they say with regard to the death of men dying as Zovim. Let's now go back over the bracketed section that we skipped, where we see the Gemara interrupting the flow and saying raising a detailed question. We have a note on the inside margin indicating why these brackets are here. Sarayim l'shem dibu kidei lishmo al retzef akriya. The brackets are for skipping in order to maintain the continuity of flow. Besocham hagemor makshe kushy partanis u mitaretzes. Within the brackets, there's a specific question, a detailed question with an answer. So we said right before the brackets that maybe through fear the woman becomes a nida through fear of the Malach HaMoves. So the Gemara says, there is a source that says fear removes blood flow. In other words, fear is a reason for non-blood flow, not for yes blood flow, yes becoming a nida. Holokashia. The Gemara says that that particular objection is no problem. Pochadot somis biatusa marpi. There are two types of fear. Pachad is a long-term state of anxiety generated by fearful circumstances, but it's protracted. Biatusa is sudden fright. So pochado somis means seals up. It retards the blood flow. Biatusa, sudden fright, causes a release, marpi, loosens, causes a release of blood. However, that having been said, the sudden fright brought on by the appearance of the Malach HaMoves, that maybe that's what releases the blood, and that's what causes Beis Shammai to say all women die as nidos. Well, if that were the analysis, we said it would be rejected based on the case of the man. The man dying as a Zav, and if it were Malach HaMoves generated, he in fact would not become a Zav whatsoever. Elo Taimo de Beis Shammai Kedisanya. Here is an answer, and it's going to last a number of lines, hence we have a long answer marking. And the Brisa here gives us the background for Beis Shammai. You'll see a triangle form in the Brice itself. This represents, two points of historical background, one regarding Nidos and one regarding Zovim. The source says, Borishona hoyim abilim kalim al gabi Nidos mesos. Women who had been in a state of Nido before they died, meaning actual Nidos. What would we do? Those clothing that they had been wearing, but not worn at the time of death, but worn just before their death, matbilin, we would toivel them, we would bring them to mikveh because of the fact that they were tamei, by virtue of the fact the owner was a nida, was tamei. V'hoyu nidos chayos mizbaishos. When this was seen, so the living nidos were embarrassed. What was the embarrassment? The embarrassment was that here all of our counterparts that die as nidos, only their clothing are brought to the mikveh. It's embarrassing that they're treated differently. So that caused busha, embarrassment. Hiskinu shiu matbilin al gabi kol hanoshim mitnik voidon shel nidos chayas. So then a rule was made across the boards that the clothing of all women that just recent that died, so the clothing that they recently worn clothing would be brought to the mikveh, so that now you couldn't distinguish between the clothing of a nida and a non-nida. It was just common practice, but sandwiched within that or absorbed within that across the board's ruling were in fact the real tefillah, the necessary tefillah of the nida garments. And the same thing with men. Borishona hoyu matbilin al gabi zovin mason. Hoyu zovin chayim is baishin. Hiskinu shiu matbilin al gabi kohu anoshim. So they made a rule across the boards that the clothing recently worn by all men that died are to be brought to mikveh. Mitnei kvodon shel zovim chayim. So as to preserve the honor and dignity of the zovim that continue living. The Mishnah. Before we learn the Mishnah, we have a comment on the side, a topic heading, Tumas Kesem, the Tumas Mace, Ligabi Dam, Shiyotso Meisha Shemesa. We're going to deal with the issues of blood that come from a woman that died. The ability of blood to cause tumas kesem, and kesem is something that is that takes place even with less than a shiur revius. But there is also a consideration of if you have a complete revius, that revius is a liquid measure. If you have a revius of dam that comes from a mace, that will be metame be'oihel. So there's tumas kesem, which is one type of tuma, and there's tumas kesem, mace, another type of tumah. The Mishnah, ho'isha shemesa v'yotza mimeno reviyastam. Metamo mishum kesem umetamo bo'ohel. A woman that died and a reviyastam emerged from her. So there will be tumas kesem, which will apply even if there's less than a reviyas, and there's tumas oihel, if the entire reviyas is together, is a continuum of a reviyas, as opposed to it being split or separated, there will even be tumas oihel, tuma that is characteristic of tumas mace, where a mace and tohor things are under the same overhang, overshadow. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Eino Metama Mishum Kesem, Mipnei Shinekar Mishemesa. Rabbi Yehuda says there's no Tumas Kesem, because we're dealing with blood that got separated from the corpse after it died. Kesem is associated with Nida, which is associated with a Re'iyah, a sighting of blood. That's relevant only with regard to someone that's alive. Umoide Rabbi Yehuda, B'yosheves Al Mashber Umesa, V'yotza Mimena Revias Dam. A woman who is Yosheves al Mashber means she's on the birth stool. She's in the process of delivering a child, bearing a child, and she dies in childbirth. And a Revias of Dam came forth from her. That will generate Tumas Kesem, Shehi Metama Mishum Kesem, because it got separated from the woman. It was Nekar from a living woman. So as such, it will generate the tumah associated with Nida. Omer Rabbi Yossi, Lefikoch Eino Metame Bo'ohel, since it was Nekar Mechayim, since it got separated from the woman, detached from the woman while she was still alive, there will be no tumaso. Tumaso is associated only with the dead. So the Gemara now focuses on points mentioned in the Mishnah. Michlal, should we infer, the Tanakama Sovar, Af Algav Dinekar Dam Mishemesa Mitamo Mishum Kesem? Could it be that the Tanakama would hold, contrary to Rabbi Yehuda, that blood that got detached from a corpse has the capacity of conveying Tumas Kesem? And logically, that's hard to believe, because kesem is associated with nida, and nida is a function of what the Torah terms ro'ah, seeing, a sighting of blood, which is something that's relevant only to the living. Omar Ziri, makor mekomo tome iko binayu. The Tanakama will say there is tumah, even though it came out after misa, but not because of roya, but simply because the blood comes from the mokor, and the mokor is a place of tuma. So that the blood that we are labeling tome, that came out after she died, even if it's less than a revius, the reason for its tuma is because it came from the mokor, which is a place of tuma. The Rebbe Yehuda, on the other hand, says that the mokor, which is the uterus, that is not a place of tuma per se. So unless you have a revius, there's no tuma to speak about with regard to the blood. Umoide Rebbe Yehuda, we saw in the Mishnah, we have a little arrow here to focus where this quote is coming from. You align it with the arrow above. You can see where in the Mishnah Rabbi Yehuda said that a woman who dies in childbirth, so he'll moida that blood is metama mishum kesem. So that's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda will concede under those circumstances that there's tumas kesem. The Gemara asks, Michlal the Tanakama Sovar, should we infer, therefore, that the Tanakama holds, Tanakama himself would hold, Boyol Nami Mitame? We saw in the Mishnah Rabbi Yehuda conceding that there will be Tumas Kesem. What about Tumas Oyel? Well, no Tumas Oyel. What about the Tanakama? So that it would infer that there is a Machloikis, and that the Tanakama would say that there's even Tumas Oyel. But how could that be? It came out from her when she was still alive. we're talking about the woman who died in childbirth. The Gemara answers, Omer of Yehuda, dam tevusa iko binayu. Now, this expression is best left unexplained, leaving room for the Gemara as it unfolds to present what dam tevusa is. But for our purposes, there is a machlokas concerning the machlokas from Rav Yehuda and the Tanna Kamma concerning dam tevusa. Now, the Gemara brings in a brisa which most appropriately raises this very question: what is dam tevusa? So, under our topic heading and structural note, we feature a double underline with dots in it, emphasizing the ezu dam tevusa. In this source, there will be, we could call it two opinions regarding how to define dam tevusa. So the Gemara goes on, after saying dam tevusa ikavinano disanya, ezu dam tevusa, which will be a tuma derabonan. Dam tevusa is a type of tuma that's rabbinic. Piresh Rebbe Elozer Rebbe Yehuda, horug is a murder victim, shiyotza mimenu dam, bein b'chayov, bein b'mosa, dam that came out of him, whether alive or dead, sofek b'chayov, yotza, sofek b'mosa, yotza. We don't know regarding this particular blood if it came out from him when he was alive or came out from him after he was dead. Sofek b'chayav uvamoso, or maybe it came out both during both times when he was alive and dead. The dam accumulated. Zehu dam tvusa. There's a Rashi here, b'chayav uvamoso, a few lines up from here in the Rashi. Shishchilur vias lotzeis mechayim, the blood started to come out when he was still alive. Sofek kulo mechayim, sofek kulo b'moisoi, the doubt being whether maybe it came out, the entire revias came out when he was alive, or maybe the entire revias came out after he was dead. Zehu dam tevusa v'tomei midrabonan bo'ehel, and there'll be tuma derabonan when it's under the same overhang or overshadow as something that's tor. Kelemir pukin d'leil dam tevusa derabonan. The Gemara goes on with the Brisa. The Brisa continues, V'chachomim oimrim, the Chomim say no. They disagree with the Tanna Kamma. Based on what? Birushus hayochit sveiko itomei. Birushus harabim sveiko tohor. If you have a suffix when it came out, and part of the suffix is maybe it came out entirely after he died, that is something that if you knew for sure, that would be metame midoraisa. And there's a rule that when you have doubt concerning tumah and you're in a private domain, a rishus hayochid, so it's metame even midoraisa. If it's in a public area, so then it will be a suffik tumah rishus harabim, and the suffik would be ruled as tor. But to say that that's dam tevusa, which is the rabbonon, just doesn't hang in. Elo, ezu dam tevusa, what is dam tevusa that's tomei midrabonon? Horuk shiotso himenu revias dam b'chayev uvamoisoi, vadayen lo posak. Blood that came out of someone that was in the state of dying, namely it came out, it started to flow when he was alive, and continued to flow after he died. So you have a complete revias. But our suffix is, did the majority come out when he was alive, or did the majority come out after he was dead? One thing is for sure, and that is, as we will see in the Brisa, you don't have a complete revius, you don't have a possibility of a complete revius coming out after he was dead. That's not part of the definition of dam tevusa. The Brisa continues, we're speaking about a revius dam that came out while he was alive and continued to flow after he was dead already. Sofek rubo v'chayef umiuto b'moisoi. There's a sofek whether the majority came out when he was alive and only the minority of the revius came out after he was dead. Sofek miuto v'chayef rubo b'moso. Or maybe the minority of the revius came out when he was alive, and the majority came out after he was already dead. Zehu dam tvusa. As Rashi says on this, horuk shiotze v'chulei, the pshitalon delo nofik minei revius shleimo lachar misa. That's obvious to us in this case, that you don't have a complete revius that came out after death. The sofek ruba mechayim v'chulei, there's a doubt that maybe the majority came out while he was still alive. Rabusa ashminan, the chidush here is, the afalgavda mesafkeloni rubo mechayim, even though part of our doubt is maybe the majority came out while he was still alive, and blood coming forth from a live person is not metame. Nevertheless, gozer alei tuma, they imposed tuma on that. Umiyu havenami rubo leachar misa, even if the rove was after Misa, in Tumasi Minatura, the Tuma would not be Minatura. The Revius Shlemo de Meispoinon, you need a complete Revius after death. If it were obvious to us that rove of the Revius came out when he was still alive, if that were a fact, they would not have imposed a Gzera. Only because there's a possibility that the majority came out after he was dead, so they imposed a gzeira, a rabbinic ruling. Continuing in the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda Oimer, Horuk Shiotzimenu Revias Dam, Voyamutal Bemita, the Domo Metaftef Leguma, a person who was killed, that was lying in a bed, and a Revias of blood came forth from him, and it was dripping into a pit. Because there is a drop of blood that is there, the drop of blood at the point of death is mixed in. The Chachomim will declare it Tor, that even though the Tipo Shomisa drips into this blood, nevertheless, the initial blood was there from the time he was still alive, and that blood is not metame. So the Chachomim are metayer mitnei she, now at the top of Omid Beis, she rishon nifsak. That means that every subsequent drop of blood becomes botel in that which was there previously. So that if the original blood there was blood that came forth from this murder victim while he was still alive, the subsequent blood, including the blood of death, becomes botel. We look at Rashi at the top, Rishon Rishon Nipsak, Shein Zav Bikiluach. It's not coming in a solid flow, Elenoitev, it's dripping. The Hilkoch, Afinu Hoyo Roiv Lachar Miso Tohor. Even if the majority of the blood that accumulated there was after Miso, and we said before that if you have, as part of your suffix, you have rove achar misa, so then we impose the gzera. But not so over here. So that even if the majority of the revius were after misa, it still would be declared tohor. Shari mitchila dam nofal mechayim besocha guma. First there was blood that dripped into that pit. Blood from a living person. V'achakach nofal dam misa lov tipen tipen. But as time went on, he died. But the blood continued flowing from the corpse. Kol tipa v'tipa shenofla batla b'dam harishon shoya b'guma mechayim. Each subsequent blood of the corpse that dripped after it was already dead is voided in the blood that was there previously while he was still alive. V'heichon minon dam tvusa. When do we then say there is such a thing as dam tvusa? When we speak about the revius of blood that's mixed with blood of life and blood of death, that's b'sheichev al ha'oros v'domo zav v'eino nifsak. That's with someone that died on the ground when there is no. It's not when the blood that emerges from him is not a dripping situation like the case of the blood dripping from the corpse onto the bed and then into the hole. But he's on the ground and a puddle of blood accumulates in a flowing fashion, not a dripping fashion.
Ki havi la achar misa ruba azlinon basrei midrabonan.
that kind of situation, if the majority comes out after he's dead, there's a gzeira d'rabbanan, v'inami misafkalon gozer ba'tuma. And even if it were a doubt, maybe the rove is after me, so they still would have imposed a gzeira d'rabbanan. But our case right now is it's coming from the corpse in a dripping fashion. The Gemara continues on the top line, Shapir ko amri le rabbona de rabbiuda. The point that the rabbonan are making is a strong point. Is it not definitive? Then it should be like the rabbonan, that rishon botel, that each subsequent subsequent drops that are coming now from the corpse after it's dead are really botel. The Gemara answers, Rebuta letame, Rebuta in declaring that there is tuma, he is consistent with what he said, what he has known to say elsewhere. The Omar ain dam mevatel dam. This is Shitas Rebuta, that it's known in other Gemaras, that blood is has a unique aspect to it, that it does not become voided in other blood. When blood is mixed with other blood, the identity of each element, of each source, remains intact. So that if you have a revius that accumulated in this pit, and there is a possibility that the majority of the blood of the revius is from the corpse, from after he's dead already, there will be a rabbinic tumah imposed. And we don't say, according to Rebuta, that the dripping of the subsequent drops become botel in the original drops that had accumulated while he was still alive. Gemara continues with more Tanaic material. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Soluv al Hoetz, Shadomoi Shoiseis Laoretz. Someone who was, nailed to a tree and died in that fashion, and the blood is dripping from him. Shoseis Laretz is dripping down to the ground. Venimtsa tachta revias dam, and there is a revias of blood that accumulated. Tomei, that is tomei. Rebuta matahir shani omer tipo shomisa oimedes loy al gav hoetz. Rebuta says that it's tohar because the blood that came from death is still stuck to the tree. So that, as far as Rebuta is concerned, the blood underneath this victim is blood that came from him when he was alive. The blood from death is still on the tree. After all, he was nailed to the tree. The Gemara asks, Rabbi Yehuda neimo ihu linafshe, why doesn't Rabbi Yehuda say to himself, so to speak? In other words, raise an objection to himself. Shani omer tipo shomisa oimedes al gav hamita. In other words, Rabbi Yehuda, who we saw on Omer Aleph, who said that the blood that accumulated in the pit with regard to the murder victim that was lying on the bed, Rebuta said that there's tumah because the tipo ein dam evatel dam. So regarding Rebuta there, by the case of the bed, why not say, like Rebuta is saying over here, that the blood of death is stuck to the bed? Just like over here in the case of the dead man died while nailed to the tree, there is tahara because the blood of death stuck to the tree. Why doesn't he say in the case of the body on the bed that the blood of death is stuck on the bed? The Gemara says, shiny mita de mechalchala. A bed is different because it mechalchala, the blood penetrates the bed and drips down into the hole. Because of this mechalchala, that it's porous, if you will, it allows the blood to pass through it, so it's different than the case of the tree. In the case of the tree being a solid entity, the blood sticks to it and remains there. And that's why in the case of the tzoluv, Rebuta said that the blood that had accumulated is tohar because it came from the person while he was still alive. The Mishnah. Originally, it was said that a woman who is experiencing dam tohor. What's dam tohar? Or dam tohor? This is a case of a woman after she gave birth. When the initial week or 2 weeks of tumah pass, there is an extended period of time that any blood that comes forth from her is tohor. That, in the case of a male birth, is a period lasting of 33 days, and the case of a female birth, 66 days. During that time, she is categorized as a tvulas yoim oruch. That means she has, although the blood itself is tohor, meaning she's allowed to be with her husband, nevertheless, she has a level of tumah that's called a sheni l'tumah, which is also known in this case as a tvulas yom oruch. And during this entire period of time, she has a certain, as we said, a certain level of tumah. And yet the Mishnah says she is ma'are mayim l'pesach. That means she can hold a vessel and pour water onto a korban pesach, the pouring of the water to clean this sacrifice. So even though a sheni l'tuma would compose a threat to a korban, nevertheless, we allow her to pour water over the korban. Rashi emphasizes she's pouring the water from a vessel. She's not at this point in the Mishnah, when we're speaking about the early time in halachic development, but Rishona, she's not touching the water. It's pointed out that a sheni l'tuma does not metama vessels. So therefore, we have no problem allowing her to pour water over a korban pesach from a vessel. Chozru Lomar, as time progressed, they then ruled Hare hi kemaga tomei meis l'kotshim k'divrei Beis Hillel b'shamay omrim af ketomei meis. They ruled that she is considered like a maga tomei meis. A tomei meis is an avatuba. Someone that touches him will become a Rishon L'tumah. So that they went on in time and declared her to be a Rishon L'tumah with respect to Kotshim. That's with respect to the realm of sacrifices, she would have a Rishon status according to Beis Hillel. According to Beis Shammai, she would have a Tomei Meis status. That's even a higher level with regard to Kotshim. However, with regard to the water that we were just discussing, she would be allowed to touch the water because the water is chulin. And regarding chulin, meaning the realm of non-sanctity, with regard to that realm, she is not elevated to this level of tomei meis or maga tomei meis, but she retains the status of a tvulas yom. And a tvul yom, being a sheni l'tuma, does not have any negative impact tuma-wise on the water. The water in question is chulin. Even if you say it's chulin hanas al taras hakodesh, that's a situation where people treat their chulin as if it were sacrificial material. Nevertheless, chulin hanas al taras hakodesh is not considered kodesh. The Gemara me'ara in noigas loy. Regarding the beginning of the Mishnah, we said that initially the woman who was experiencing dam tohor, there was a woman that was after a recent birth, so she has an allowance to pour from a vessel. So that's what the Gemara is inferring or medayik from here. Ma'are, yes, but nogas, to touch the water directly, no. Alma, well, why not? Chulin shinasu al taras hakodesh kekodesh domu. That would be infer or imply that water that's chulin, in this case, the water that's being used for washing the korban, is chulin that was prepared with a kodesh standard. In other words, it's water dealt with as if it were sacrificial, has sacrificial status, and therefore the tvulas yom, who is a sheni l'tuma, would, yes, be able to ruin the water. Therefore, don't touch the water, just pour it from a vessel. Amo Seifa. We continue now with the Seifa, a quote from the Seifa. Chazru Lomar Harehi Kemaga Tomei Meis L'Kotshim. The Tvulas Yom Oruch is like a Rishon Lotoma, according to Beis Hillel, only with regard to Kodshim, the Kodshim in Lechulin Lo. Only with regard to actual sacrificial material, not Chulin treated as if it were sacrificial. Alma, we would conclude from this that Chulin Shinasu Altaras HaKodesh Lavka Kodesh Domu. The Chulin prepared with a Kodesh standard is not considered as if it were actually Kodesh. If you notice, then we've dashed underlined Lavka Kodesh Domu, and three lines above, we dashed on underlined Kodesh Domu. So it seems from reading our Mishnah that there's an inherent contradiction in how to look at Chulin Shinasu Altaras HaKodesh. The Gemara answers, Masnisin Moni Abosholhi. In our Mishnah, there is really another Tanaic opinion reflected, and it's in accordance with Abashol, the Sani Abashol Oimer, Tvuyom, Tchila Lekodesh, Letame Shnayim, Velifsol Echad. It's Abashol's opinion that a Tvuyom is considered a Tchila. Tchila is a Rishon. Even though in general a tful yom, a person who had been tomei, who went to mikveh and is waiting for sundown, that's a tful yom, is considered a sheni, Abashol says that with regard to the realm of kodshim, he is considered a rishon. And as such, he can generate tuma two stages down, and then a final stage, which we call psul, which is something that's characteristic or relevant to the realm of sacrifices. So that with regard to the realm of sacrifices, someone who is ordinarily a tful yom, with regard to sacrifices, is considered a rishon with regard to kodesh. And it's with regard to that, we can infer that only legabi kochim, but not legabi chulin. So that when you saw in the Mishnah where there was this point was inferred that lekotchim in lechulin lo, that was Abba Shoal. So that's Abba Shoal's opinion that chulin shinasu ataras kodesh lav kodesh domu. The reisha from which we concluded that it is kodesh, that's another Tanaic opinion, and hence we don't have what we thought was a Mishnah that had an inherent contradiction in it, but rather there are two different Tanaic opinions. The Mishnah, Umoidim Shehi Oicheles the Meiser, a Tvulas Yom Oruch, the woman that was Yosheves Aldam Tohar, is able to eat Meiser Sheni, which is consistent with the din of a Tvul Yom. A Tvul Yom is prohibited from eating Truma and eating Kutchim, but Meiser Sheni, they are allowed. The Kutzel Lechala Umakefes V'Kuri Lo Shem, she can, in kneading dough, from dough we know there's a tithe known as Chala. Chala is given to a Kohen and it is treated as if it's Truma. Kutzel Lechala means she removes from the batter that she's making a hunk of dough. At the point that she separates the hunk of dough, it doesn't automatically become Chala, because it hasn't been declared as challah. It's simply been removed in anticipation of the declaration. So in the meantime, we have a tfulas yom oruch that separates a quantity of dough that will become challah. Umakefes means, and she places it next to the basic batter of dough. The kore lo shem, and now, after it's been separated, and she's not touching it anymore, she kore lo shem, she proclaims it to be challah. The imnofal me roka umidam taro al kikor shel truma shu tohor. Another point here is that if her saliva, and we're talking once again about the tfulas yom oruch, the woman who is yosheves al dam tohar, if her saliva fell, if that's a roke or her blood umidam taro, or the blood that she is experiencing now as a woman during the Yemei Tohar, the 33 or 66 days that we mentioned before, and that falls, the roke or the dam falls onto a loaf of truma, the truma is tohar. So that we're saying that even though the woman herself is a sheni lutuma, and as such she could ruin truma, the liquids that emerge from her are not the same thing. They're not the same level. This, as Rashi calls, are mashkim hayotzim min atful, mitful yom, and they are tohar. Beishamai Omrim Tzricha Tvila Bachrona. Beishamai says regarding the Tvulas Yom Oroch, there is a necessary immersion in a mikveh at the conclusion of the Dam Tohar period, after those 33 days or 66 days that we mentioned earlier. On a practical basis, it would be either 40 days after the male birth or after 80 days of the female birth. Beis Shammai says she needs a tvila. Looking at Rashi, tzricha tvila, leil shmoinim l'truma, mipnei she tvulas yom oroch hi, v'sicha daito min ha-truma. She was not considering or thinking about truma. In other words, she had separated herself from truma. V'im Yisraelis hi, tevelis l'bias mikdash. And if she's a Yisraelis, she would need to be tevelis for entrance to the Beis HaMikdash. The Mishnah continues, Ubeis Hillel Omrim Einot Tzricha Tvila Bachrona. The Rashi explains, Einot Tzricha Avol Kotshim Modu Beis Hillel. But with regard to Kotshim, Beis Hillel will concede that she should immerse herself. The Kaimalon, Einen Mechusu Kippurim Tzricha Tvila L'Kodesh. They do require Kodesh, Tvila for the Beis for Kotshim. Hilkoch la'achar she'viyo kaporoso tevelis l'kotshim. Therefore, after she brings her korbonus, which is characteristic of a yoledes, she needs to immerse herself for kotshim eating. Our Gemara now comments on each particular point mentioned in the Mishnah. One of the points was that she is allowed to eat from meiser, this yosheves al dam tohar. The Omar Mar Toval the Ola Oichil B'Meiser. That is something that we have been taught, that namely that a person who was Tomei, and as such they can't eat Meiser Sheni. All they have to do is they immerse themselves in a mikveh at the end of their Tumah period, and then as soon as they arise from the mikveh, even though it's before sundown, they are entitled to eat Meiser Sheni. Meiser Sheni, of course, is that tithe which one is expected to eat in Yerushalayim or bring the money value of it and buy food in Yerushalayim after having redeemed the Meiser Sheni. The Koitzel Achalo, the Mishnah mentioned that this Tvulas Yom, the Yoshevas Adam Tor, separates dough in anticipation of Chalo. Chulin HaTvulin L'Chalo Lav K'Chalo Domu. The dough when it's being prepared and it has latent challah in it, that doesn't make it into challah. It doesn't have a challah standard when all that is in consideration is the fact that the challah is latent. Therefore, she, as a tvulas yom, does not affect chulin. The word tvulin comes from the word tevel. Tevel is untithed, something that's untithed. So untithed dough does not have the status of the tithe that eventually will be separated from this. Uma kefes, the Mishnah mentioned that she takes the clump of dough separated in anticipation of being declared as challah to be placed next to the basic batter from which this is being tithed. The Omamar, mitzvah litrom in amukaf. We have been taught that the optimal way of tithing is mina mukaf. Mukaf means something where the tithe is next to the original quantity. The Kurei lo shem, the Mishnah said that after she separated the clump of dough, she then proclaims it as being challah. Sagadei dechamina, without the Mishnah, I would have thought nigzor duma osilim in gabo me'avroi. We should be choshesh, we should make a gzero that she should not be allowed to do this because she might come to actually touch it. Komash Malon, we don't make such a gzera. We don't impose any prohibition. V'im nofal me roka disnan, we said in the Mishnah, her saliva, that means the tulis yom oroch saliva dripped onto truma, it would not ruin the truma. Disnan mashkit v'yoim, kemashkin anogea bohen. the mashkin that comes from a tful yom is like mashkin, like liquids that a tful yom touches. The elu velu einon metamin. Neither one generate. In neither case is there any tuma. Beishamai, my binayu. We saw Beishamai saying that she needs tvila at the end, and Beisilo saying no. What's the point of difference? Omar of Ketina, Tfuyom Oruch Iko Binayu. The way we look at a woman who is a Tfulas Yom Oruch, who means a long period of time during which she is considered a Tfulas Yom. And as we said before, it's a long period. It's either 33 or 66 days. That is the point of difference. According to Beis Shammai, a tfulas yom oruch. In other words, we should have pointed out, but better late than never, that after the initial week or 2 weeks of tumah, she went to the mikveh. The question is, does someone who is in a state of tfulas yom for a long period of time require a second immersion in the mikveh at the end of that period? In a manner of speaking, this woman had gone to mikveh after the initial week or 2 weeks of tumah. Her sundown, which ends the tfulas yom period, takes place many, many days later. That's why we call her a tfulas yom oruch. Do we require a second immersion in the mikveh or not? So according to Beis Shammai, we do, and according to Beis Hillel, no. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.